joining us in studio from the Verson Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Sean Latch is with us. Welcome, Sean.
Great to be back.
An early visit as we start planning for the month of March because, you got some travel coming up that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Heading off for a little vacation, going to see the leprechauns. I mean, the Irish. Yeah. So heading over to Ireland for a little bit.
And if you haven't earned that trip already, you earned the break first by doing a sleepover with a bunch of high schoolers.
That's happening tomorrow. Yeah, we've got a special group in from Maine School of Math and Science and Phillips Andover Academy, and doing a special event at the Planetarium and Astronomy Weekend from Saturday into Sunday, and then Sunday afternoon I fly out. So
wow,
we'll see what. I'll sleep well on the flight over. That's the plan, right?
To
have a good sleep on the flight over. So yeah,
perfect. Well, let's talk about what's coming up at the center here in the month of March. We roll things out next Friday night with a brand new show. Tell us about Worlds Beyond Earth.
Yeah, Worlds Beyond Earth is a brand new program that we brought in from the Hayden Planetarium in New York. And this program takes a look at our solar system in depth, but it's really a modern day take because it looks at all the recent spacecraft missions that have visited planets and some of the latest data about them. A couple weeks ago, there was this new announcement of 12 new moons being discovered, for instance, around Jupiter. So our solar system is a very dynamic place, and we continue to make discoveries. And in fact, you know, it's one of the fun things that, you know, looking at those planets up close really helps us understand ours in more depth. So that's going to be our Friday night public program at 7 o'clock for most of the month. I do mention most of the month because I'll be telling you a little bit about something special that will sort of take one of those nights for that Friday night program. But you will have four opportunities, since there's five Fridays in March. You'll still have four opportunities to see that particular program. Then on Sunday afternoons, continuing with that solar system theme, if you will, we have Secret of the Cardboard Rocket, which is a really popular program where you join a brother and sister duo and their magic book and have a chance to travel to each of the planets, exploring it, learning a little bit about the special things there for each planet, sort of some of their special characteristics. And of course, all of our programs always include a tour of the night sky. And right now there's some great planets to see because we have, you know, Venus and Jupiter actually on March 1st are going to be at their closest in conjunction, about a half a degree apart. So about the distance that the moon is.
Been so cool to see Jupiter, Venus, and the moon all together.
Yeah. Wednesday night was really great. And to see all three of those, the moon's now moving on beyond. But of course, those two are really, and really when you had those three, you had three of the four brightest objects that we see in the sky, you know, other than the sun. So really an impressive grouping. Those, and then for a music show, Rihanna, Diamonds in the Sky. So
correct. From the Super Bowl,
fresh off of the Super Bowl,
to the Verson Power Astronomy
again
Center.
She won't be in the dome, at least we'll be we will have her music, we'll have really wonderful visualizations, things like that. But one of the programs that we're going to be doing for the month, and that one you'll only have three chances to see again because of this other special event I've been sort of hinting at.
Yeah, which is going to be so cool.
Yeah, we have, back in the BC days before COVID, we actually did a play in the planetarium, and we had planned on doing a second one, and then COVID, of course. But now that that is over and past, in theory, True North Theater's joining us, and we're doing the production of Silent Sky in the planetarium. This is the story of Henrietta Leavitt, who was a computer at Harvard. She and the computers of Harvard, these were women who were astronomers at Harvard at the turn of the century, in late 1800s, early 1900s, who really revolutionized what we understand about stellar classification, stellar revolution, things like that. So this play tells the story of her life, and is a really fun production. And we'll have the actors on stage. We'll be using the dome as a digital set and to enhance things, and they'll be showing things in the sky, of course. So it's a lot of fun for us, really excited. That's going to run the 23rd through 26th of March, so that 24th, which is the one Friday, that's going to actually supplant our regular public show that evening, because it will be a 7 o'clock performance. Then we're also running it the 30th through the 2nd of April. So we'll be doing some programming then, so sort of into that first week of April as well. So a whole variety of really fun things, and we hope folks will come out for that. That's a special performance. One of the Saturdays, I think it's the Saturday, the April 1st, we're actually having a talk back with the actors afterwards, and that evening with the evening show. If the weather cooperates, we'll also open up the telescope out back.
That's great.
Which is a historic telescope, and give folks a little bit of an idea of what that might be like to look through a historic telescope. So hopefully the weather will cooperate.
Yeah. That's such a wonderful idea. I love that. That's terrific. Up in the sky in March, among other things, too, we've got some things to look forward to. What should we keep our eyes on in March?
Well, of course, the planets being the big thing right now. As I mentioned, Venus and Jupiter are going to be really the stars of the show, if you will, right after sunset. Mars is still pretty high overhead. And in March, we're going to start to regain sort of Saturn in our morning sky just before sunrise. So you want to take a peek for that as well. That'll rise a bit before the sun, sort of mid-month and after. Then, of course, March is the month that we do all kinds of fun things like daylight savings time. So, yes, I think it's the second Sunday in March. I believe that's the 11th or the 12th. The morning of the 12th, basically, is when we, spring ahead. So you'll lose an hour of sleep and all the fun with that. But that is one of those things that happens in March. Also then, of course, the 20th is the vernal equinox. Right. So the first official day of spring. So yes, in theory, warmer weather is coming. But yeah, spring officially begins on the 20th of March this year. So we'll have that equal day, equal night. Of course, equinox meaning equal night. And so that'll be another one of the big astronomy things for the month coming up in March.
Last time you were here, we talked about UFOs, UAPs, whatever we choose to call them now. And then not long after that, we started, everybody was seeing objects in the skies and we were shooting them down. And I thought of you when people were saying, oh, yeah, well, why aren't they telling us the truth? It's aliens.
Yeah, it is one of those things. We've even had a couple calls. We had a call, talking about, because someone was very curious about the Starlink satellites. They saw the whole line of them and they were getting nervous. And, so it is one of those things. I do understand, people don't see the sky as much as they did. They don't pay attention to it as much. So if they see something out of the ordinary, it can be difficult. And one of the most common UFOs that planetariums get reported to them is Venus, actually, because it's so bright. And there's this effect called autokinesis, where if you stare at an object, there's nothing else bright around it. Your eyes, actually, because of the way they move, will make things appear to change or move or hover or things like that. So that is one that's commonly reported to planetariums. But yeah, there have been these, of course, balloons that have been shot down. Now, satellites typically are much higher than balloons, so there's a differential there. So the Starlink satellite's not an issue, but these balloons, of course, and unfortunately a few of them probably were not, the first one we know was spy related, of course, the Chinese one, but then there were some that were, were used for typical research projects. In some cases they probably, the cost to shoot them down was much more than the cost of the instrument itself, you will, but still one of those things. So, it is something I think you might be hearing more about, and probably there needs to be a little bit more regulation on, these things. Typically, you do have to keep track of, like when they're launching rockets, there's always, you have to keep track of that. So my guess is we might see some more with balloons and drones and things like that.
Well, and there's a lot up there, too. We were talking about it the other day. How much space junk is orbiting the Earth these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. So when you get above the atmosphere and you're in actual space, which is only 100 miles up, there are literally, thousands of things. There's over 5,000 active satellites, plus then there's all these, the debris from launches and things like that that's up there. In fact, because of there's been so many satellites recently, it's actually started to play problems for some of the astronomy observatories who take imagery, and they see like the constellation of Starlink satellites going across it, which can create some problems. So it is one of those things, and there, even a few years ago, there were a couple attempts to sort of go up and capture some of this material and deorbit it so it would burn up, because you don't want to run into it if you're launching something new either. So that's important as well. So yeah, it is something we need to pay attention to. And I do think, it's like a lot of things in the beginning, folks just, it's easy, we can do this and it's not an issue. But then you get to a certain point, it's like, hey, we actually have to pay attention to this stuff. And we probably should be figuring out a way that when we do launch stuff, how do we clean up any debris from it? How do we clean up stuff that's just up there that it is no longer functioning, if you will. So
Wally. That's what happens. Wally goes up and takes care of all
there you go.
Sean Lash from the Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. More information, visit the website at astro.maine.edu. Sean, thanks as always, and hope you have a wonderful trip.
Thanks so much.
We'll catch you sometime late March, early April.
Late March sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.